Time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Declare your independence from me, Ernest Hancock, in the middle of the nothing, out in the middle of the nothing. In the middle of Missouri, it's called Bunker, you ain't gonna find it. So, we're using Starlink, but, you know, I mean, it's a double-edged sword. I mean, it works really well when it works, and you get a clear sky, but, you know, guy can push the button, man. Push the button, then you're done. You know, and there's so much information on the front page of Freedom's Phoenix today. Just today, there is so much of just the perspective of what actually really happening of you need to know what's up. And our guest today is going to hip us. He has an event coming up, and we want to make sure that, you know, everybody gets to know what's up. Because this is the culmination of all the news and stuff that you see happening. You know, it's happening. Because we've been warning. You know what's going to happen. This is going to happen because it's going to happen, and here it's going to happen. And then we have Mark Passio is going to hip us. All right, let's go ahead and get some Mark Passio up there. Oh, not me. Hello. You'll see some of the graphics up here from Mark. Now, the thing that I became aware of him through a friend, supporter, that just loved his delving into the occult, the hidden. You're not supposed to know about, you know, the they, them, those motivations of always the why, because they're messed up in the head. That's why, you know, Mark Passio is an anarchist, independent researcher, public speaker, internet talk show host, documentary filmmaker, technology seminar instructor, conference organizer, lead vocalist, and freedom activist from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Mark has undertaken the task of assembling vast amounts of research in the areas of metaphysics, occultism, spirituality, symbology, and consciousness studies. In 2007, Mark began presenting this information in the form of a presentation series entitled What on Earth is Happening? With the intention of bringing the implications of this body of knowledge to greater public awareness. Mark launched his own website in 2008 at whatonearthishappening.com. In 2010, Mark began hosting his own internet radio show, also called What on Earth is Happening, which has hundreds of episodes to date. Mark was one of the co-founders of the Free Your Mind Conference, the Philadelphia-based conference on consciousness, mind control, and the occult. Mark has taught intensive live seminars, including natural law, streetwise spirituality, new age, blah, 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 blah. But he has a new one that's coming up that is we wanted to make sure that we promoted on What's Up. So let's go ahead and take a look at this for the audience. Two masks, same face. The dark occult origins of Nazism and communism. A special all-day presentation by Mark Passio of whatonearthishappening.com, October 21st. Coming up directly. October 21st. 10 to 10. Wow. Oh, my God. 12 hours, 10 to 10. And he's going to need all of it, I'm sure. Exton Hotel and Conference Center, 815 North Pottstown Pike, Exton, PA. Now, where's Exton? Is that near Philadelphia or something?
Exton, I believe, is just northwest of Philadelphia.
Okay. $60 private donation. Okay. Now, this is one thing. Let's talk about that real quick. When they go, $60 private donation, meaning, hey, it's just donation, it's a gift, it's not tax. What's the significance of that?
Well, you know, I have to recoup costs, you know, incurred with rental of the room, you know, all of the effort and time spent building a presentation like this.
I mean, hell yeah. No, I can't freaking get my $300. I don't care about that.
Why is it a private donation? Why is it a private donation? Because I pretty much do everything that I do here as a private educational outreach operation. There is no incorporation for What on Earth is Happening. You're only dealing with me and making a private donation to me so that I can continue my educational operation.
Okay. Is there a significance of why you say that? Is there a tax thing? Is there the man thing? Is there
pretty much? Yeah, I'm just saying that you know that the donation is not going to any type of a business. It is 100% private.
Mark, you know, in fact, I've had when we first met, he had spoke at Acapulco, and then he came and spoke at a facility near my home, was like a mile away, you know. And one of his supporters said, "Look, here's a bunch of money. You know, go put it in the hands of Mark. Tell him he never calls anybody. He won't return thing. He won't get back on the show. He won't." And I'm like, "Mark, you see this wad of cash right here? You're coming on the show, damn it." You know, we got, so that's how we got to know each other and hooked him up with another supporter. And the reason is because, you know, to some people, this information is eye-opening, valuable, and oh my God. So it's obscure, the places that you see in people that have, why he's not political. He's not for some candidate. He's not for, but some people spark the emotion, the activism, the do something in people. What is it, Mark, that makes you special? Monologue me, man. What are you going to be saying that's so important that so many people want to hear what freaking Mark's got to say at your conference center this October? Let's see, what are we starting at? October 21st, okay, near Philadelphia. So go check out whatonearthishappening.com. All right, man, it's all you. Tell me what's up.
Well, thank you for that, Ernest. And I want to go back to one of the things that you said. You said that I'm not political, and that's absolutely true. And, you know, one of the things that I think sets my work apart is I do not take political sides. I'm apolitical. I consider myself completely standing outside of the political spectrum, and I don't talk about solutions from a perspective of politics or finance. Solutions are never going to come through the political arena. They're never going to come through the financial arena. Solutions have to be spiritually implemented within the consciousness of the individuals, of the people of this planet. The solution is a spiritual solution. It is not a political or financial solution or even a technological solution, as many people believe these solutions are. I see the solution not as a plural solutions. I see it as a singular solution. The solution to the world's problem of covert slavery of human beings is to learn objective morality and natural law and teach it to other people. In that, there is obviously a intensive learning process to unlearn all of the things that people have been indoctrinated and brainwashed to believe over the years since they've been a child, and to learn what real morality is first and foremost, because there is a law that governs the freedom of entire populations of human beings. I call this law that exists in the universe the law of freedom. And the law is simply part of natural law. And it is that as morality of any given population set increases, that population's freedom increases. And as the aggregate morality of any given population declines, that society's freedom declines and descends into tyranny. And this is not a subjective standard of morality, as many religions would postulate that, they have their interpretations of morality. Different societies have their interpretations of morality. This has nothing to do with subjective interpretation. There is a definitive, objective standard of which behaviors are right behaviors because they do not initiate harm to other sentient beings, and which behaviors are wrong or immoral behaviors because they do initiate harm to other sentient beings objectively. So, that is what I see as the solution. It is moral knowledge and moral education of others into that moral knowledge of how natural law actually works and functions. And that's what I think sets my work apart, to answer your question, is I'm looking at the underlying causal spiritual and moral factors, where other people look at this from a perspective of simply worldly events and trying to apply political and financial solutions to those 3D worldly events that they see taking place.
So the worldly events are kind of a side effect of the abandonment of a moral truth.
That's right. Absolutely.
All right, show's over. Yeah, we do.
Everything you need to know.
Well, hey, man, thank you, because that's what I did. Skip to the freaking end. Give me a base to operate from. Give me something. Give me a truth. Let's find that. Okay, the one thing that as you were talking, I hesitate to interrupt, but I really wanted to emphasize when you say an objective moral truth based on it being not harming people, being of support. The closest I've come to that is I'm like, they're pro-life. I mean, get into the abortion issue, but it was just that which supports life. There's an ideal right. for humans, a social structure, which is what? I don't know. I mean, it depends on your culture, but it's definitely going to be in support of life. Many wives or husbands you have or something, don't really care. I mean, there might be an ideal, a monogamous mother-father kind of thing, or at least there are, some males involved in the raising and some females involved in the raising, is ideal. Now, you have tolerance on the edges of how, gay couples adopt or whatever, but I'm not saying it's ideal. Okay, there's always individual circumstances, but to look for something that's ideal, what is ideal? Maybe kids have siblings, they have at least one brother or sister, or at least if they're male, they got a brother and a sister, and she's got a sister. So that's why we had two and two. I just was always envious of those that everybody had a brother or sister at least. And so was Donna, my wife. She was the only girl. I was the only boy. I was like, I wish I had a brother. She wished she had a sister, that kind of thing. So we, as our ideal, that is a subjective thing. I can make a lot of argument for larger families, for having at least replacement population, increase. But what is the criteria that you would put as an ideal family structure, ideal individual compatible with his environment and the people and society in general and be an add to his community, that kind of thing.
That's a great question.
This is what I want to get to, okay? So let me frame this because I was looking forward to Mark Pascio explaining it to me, okay? Is that you have the ideal. What is the ideal? Because this is the situation that I'm running into. Mark, all right, clean all your other crap. We'll get into everything, but this, I want to skip to the end. This is what I was hoping to get from you, okay?
Sure.
What we have is there is always the argument for we need an intentional community. Intentional community of community of intentionals of being good, moral, and outside of, screw them. We're going to go be Amish, Mormon, out in the Lone Prairie, anarchist, whatever. And I'm going, maybe you don't want me in your community. Maybe I don't want you in my community. And in the community is what? As long as I got freaking fence lines and this is my property, that's yours, and this is mine, not yours, and what you got is not mine, it's mine. It's all about mine, okay? So I got that. And then outside of that, and community is kind of a voluntary association of, we have the golden rule of non-aggression of whatever the heck. But a lot of people want intentional communities, you know, and usually it comes from not having the resources. They want to share a tractor. They want to share the well. They want to share, you know, it's a practical thing. I can understand that. But the ideal would be, I'm self-sustaining with me and my family of the tribe of the matriarchal, whatever enclave of, you know, somebody's in charge of something, all right? That's the ideal for me, that I want to be, you know, so I'm advocating for unintentional communities, that the community, it's not intentional, you have it's yours and your property rights are protected. As long as everybody's property rights are defended, protected, whatever, I'm pretty good, which is what I thought America was supposed to be. That was It became so explosively prosperous, is because individuals had theirs. They had the incentive to build on theirs, expand theirs. They got theirs. Take care of theirs. Then somebody else wants to take theirs because they got a lot, and we're the government with a badge. Yep. So this intention, I'm looking for the ideal situation. Don and I are on our way back by the end of the month. We'll be back in Arizona, and we start building in the desert. OccupyTheLand.org. Yeah, go look it up. OccupyTheLand.org, and you'll see what we're building. Now, the thing is that I'm going, okay, everybody wants to come. Oh, yeah, we'll live with you, and doom can't be up. What makes you think I want you to be here? You know? No, I don't need a bunch of couch surfing povertarians, you know, making trash, sitting there smoking dope on the, you know, watching the sunset every day and didn't help me dig a trench, you know? Oh, you broke my backhoe? Well, who's paying for that? You know, you see my point? It's all a tragedy of the commons thing. So with all that kind of mindset and me leading into everything Mark says, what is the ideal? The ideal knowledge, ideal situation, ideal morality, living standard, structure, government. You know, is it a really good PMA inside of an HOA? You know, you see my point? So, yep. Mark, it's all you, man. Do me.
Okay, so I'm going to build on some of the things that you talked about. And the first is property, right? So obviously property has to be the central component of all of this, because all rights, all human rights, no matter what they are based in property and property rights. Yep. If you don't have the ability to own property, then you by definition are a slave of someone else, because they're telling you there is no ownership. If there's no ownership of property, there's no ownership of self. There's no ownership of rights. There's ultimately no taking charge of your own life. And to the extent that you are able within the law to direct the course of your own destiny and evolutionary development as an individual and a species of beings. So obviously, of natural law. This is the basis of objective morality, because as you said, ultimately a true moral system is in support of life. See, the first thing a being recognizes from probably a very young age is that they do not want their life and their property damaged and degraded. They don't want their body damaged and degraded. They don't want the things that they own and utilize every day to do the things that they need to do on a daily basis damaged and degraded. And if you want those rights respected of your life, your rights, your body, your property, then you should not incur losses or do objective harm to other beings' life, body, rights, property, etc. This is the very basis of natural law-based morality. It's the very basis of the non-aggression principle and the self-defense principle. We should not initiate harm to other sentient beings, but if harm is initiated against an individual, they always maintain the right of self-defense to protect their life, rights, and property. So that has to be a fundamental philosophical foundation, and that is the underlying philosophy of human freedom. If we all lived like that and respected those principles, there would be freedom, because we would be living in alignment with natural law and objective morality. Unfortunately, we are not. Unfortunately, we want to do these things like seize control of other people's property, delegate how much they're allowed to keep and how much they must turn over to the state, centrally planned economies, centrally planned societies, dictating the way people must live and what they must do and all kinds of statutes and regulations. This is authoritarianism. Not, it's collectivism, it's authoritarianism, it's secular materialism. Okay. And ultimately, it's the basis for every totalitarian regime that has ever existed on the face of the earth. Totalitarian regimes cannot even form and formulate a strategy or ideology without those underlying ideologies being their basic foundation. So I think I would add one additional dynamic to what you laid out. And that is, I will go a little bit deeper regarding what I would consider a genuine relationship between human beings. So we can talk about the familial dynamic, and yes, it is very, very, very important for the cohesiveness of the familial dynamic within human society, for us to strengthen human bonds in that sense, so that we come together and stand strong together in our natural rights and don't relinquish them, don't abdicate them, take responsibility for ourselves and our own communities, etc. But I would take it one step further down to the level of the individual and the individual's connection with the ultimate form of consciousness, the individual's connection to truth and reality, how anchored they are in true objective reality. And this is what consciousness is. Consciousness is the ability to accurately assess reality, the ability to gauge what is actually taking place both within one's own psyche and in the so-called external realm in which operate on a day-to-day basis in the world. Consciousness is the awareness of that. It's the ability to recognize patterns and meaning within the human psyche and within the seemingly objective realm. So we have to align our perception to that. Reality is not subjective. It is objective. Our perceptions of it may be subjective in many ways. And as we live the course of our lives, we may be very close to the truth, or we may wander significantly away from the truth. But ultimately, our goal as human beings has to be to align our perceptions to truth. So the ultimate form of a true relationship, as I teach it and see it, is that a real relationship actually begins within the self, and it is a connection to truth. So if you consider two people and you look at them and you say, what is the nature of their relationship? Most people will think of a line drawn directly between them. They have some sort of a one-to-one connection. This is some sort of an individual bond that they share on the basis of understanding each other, respecting each other's natural rights, understanding what is their responsibilities both individually and shared. And all of those things are wonderful things, and they should be part of the basis for how we're going to organize our overall society. However, I look at it more of that the true dynamic that governs a relationship is what is each individual's strength of bond to the truth, to true objective reality. And however strong
Mark, you said, just what you said, the last sentence, you cut out there for a little bit, and I don't want to miss it. So your last 10 seconds, repeat, please.
You got it. So, we can look at the individual strength of the bond between two people, but what we really have to gauge it on is the strength of the bond in their connection to higher self, higher consciousness, truth, objective reality, objective morality. The stronger the bonds to that source consciousness and source truth is, then the stronger the actual individual bonds between people are, because they're connected from that central level of consciousness, that ultimate level of consciousness and truth. And this is again, what I think sets my work apart from other people. Other people, in looking for solutions to human problems, are always looking in simply the pragmatic realm. And that's good to do. You have to have understanding of things and how things work, and implement things that make pragmatic sense. I'm not knocking that, but I'm saying most people don't go beyond that to look at the spiritual connection that has to be forged. They're not looking at this from a perspective of true, objective, and what I call streetwise spirituality, which is understanding what has been the controlling dynamic of what's going on in the world, understanding the occult, okay, understanding natural law and objective morality, and making those the guiding principles of your life. You know, you have to put principles first above everything else.
All right, man, you gotta define for me what that is. Is it sure. you're not atheist enough, you're not Christian enough, you're not Muslim enough, you're not enough or something, you know, to have this common ground by which mm-hmm. you can build relationships and communities and so on is based on what truth?
So the word principle is based on the Latin word principia. So principia in Latin means first things. Okay, it means the things that you have to prioritize and put first before everything else. And the very first thing that we have to put before everything else is an accurate understanding of rights and morality. So I've done many, many, many street experiments, social experiments with people, man on the street interviews, man on the street questionnaires. And we've done this in many different places, helpers of mine. Okay. Just gone out onto the street corner with a simple questionnaire. Hey, do you have 5 minutes? Answer a couple of questions. We're doing a social experiment to gauge, you know, people's responses and see where society is at. And we ask them all questions about, morality and rights, such as, can you define a human right? Give me your basic definition of a right. And, you know, things like, is government a moral institution? Is it based on morality? You know, and, you know, should it continue to exist? Things like this, right? And I mean, the appalling answers that people give, absolutely, completely, 100% immoral answers. And then in the same breath, they will tell you with a straight face that they're moral, just, and good people when they just advocated for violence against their fellow men and women through the state. You know, so, you know, this is the contradiction that exists in society.
Okay, now where does that yes. come from? You know, someone, it's just, you know, it seems, I remember the book, it was a big deal decades ago. It said, everything I needed to know, I learned in kindergarten. I mean, it was, you know, don't punch, don't hit, don't steal, don't lie, don't, I mean, you know, and you're mm-hmm. done. Okay.
So yep. common sense.
So, oh, can't have that. So where did this come from? Okay, this was taught, it was influenced, it was something, you know.
Indoctrinated into the young.
And yes. So what was the most, well, one, we got government education, so, you know, there's your first problem. And then you have big tech being used or whatever. You can do it from the pulpit, you can do it from the microphone, you can do it from, but they're definitely doing it. This is why, you know, they buy up all the media and they get, you know, they frame, you know, they color the lens yep. of your goggles from which you see the whole world. And, you know, that's why I'm going, well, they this, they that. You know, when I first started doing radio back in 03, they, who are they, you conspiracy tinfoil hat wearing whatever? And I go, oh, that's a good question. There are those that just want to be left alone. There are those that just won't leave them alone. That's who they, them, those are. They yep. won't leave me alone, okay? So, for me, it's pretty simple to see where I'm not being left alone. But right. they have to sell that as for your safety, security, yep. benefit, you know, you'll sign here. I totally agree.
Greater
Click
good.
The box. You know,
yeah, the greater good.
The greater good. The greater good. The greater good. You know, so, you know, the most, you know, the least suffer for the most benefit, you know, whatever they can come up with. When you make the argument that the most benefit from the protection of every individual's rights, which is what America, you know, was founded on. The purpose of government, defense of individual rights. Doesn't do that. Time to alter or abolish. It's your right, your duty. Boom. Sign me up. Okay. Then a decade later, it comes this Constitution thing, the con, you know, of how we're just all on the plantation now. So to get that passed, they had to do this Bill of Rights, 10 thou shalt nots or something. But then they, you know, avoid that and ignore it and do whatever the heck they want to anyway. So I'm looking at, we are going to have an opportunity to reconstitute our relationship with each other, and more than just, and a toleration for other countries to exist and their culture, whatever, don't care, okay? That is going, but they're going to have to do the same thing. Is it going to be through demise, deterrence, you know, a detriment to their self-interest? Because it seems like all the stuff that's going on in just the last few years, months, days, okay? Mm-hmm. All the Mark Passio stuff saying, you know what's going to, well, here it is, okay? So yep. It's timely that you and I are talking. So
I've been warning people about the coming disaster in our society for the last 16 years.
Yeah,
and I'm
so
sure you've been doing
early,
it longer than that.
Yeah, being early is wrong. You were wrong. When's it going to happen? Where do you stand? I'm looking at my watch here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going, man, it's inevitable. You know, I always say it won't happen all at once, but it will happen overnight, you know? And they go, what are you talking about? I go, you'll see, you know, the artillery bombing over the horizon kind of thing. You'll see it, you know, but it won't be in your face until all of a sudden you wake up on Monday morning and you go, what the heck just happened? Well, it's Monday, okay? Yep.
The orchestrators know that they have to move in incrementalism. They have to use gradualism as a strategy.
Why? To what? What's the goal?
If you suddenly throw someone into a prison, they realize that they're in a prison. If you gently move them in a certain direction until it's a completely imperceptible process, then they are not conscious that it's actually taking place.
Yeah, but why? You know, why
they want total control.
Why?
Because they're sick and psychopathic, and their psyche is completely diseased. They have diseased souls and psyches. They hate themselves at such a fundamental level of being because of their own perceived or real inadequacies.
Okay, I know who they are. Who's they to you?
About the power structure of our world in my upcoming presentation as being not only people within government, but the entities that control government, that sit behind the ostensible power structure and are enthroned behind the scenes. So I talk about, you know, some of the, you know, the corporations and banking institutions, then you can go beyond them and you arrive at the world of the occult. You arrive at people who have very deep and ancient knowledge of the human psyche and how it really works and how it can be manipulated, how people's motivations work and how they can be manipulated and how people can be led as an entire group of people because they generally all have the same types of fears. And it's using the knowledge of those deeply recessed parts of the human psyche and those deeply recessed fears to actually steer and manipulate whole populations. This is how the occult world works. And
sounds
the
like a bunch of people won't leave
that,
me alone. That's what it sounds
that's
like.
That's right. Of course.
Okay, now this is when you say common fears. You know, this. Mm-hmm. All right, Mark, this is what I've been saying the last few years. I'm going, look, blah, blah, blah. In the end, this is going to turn into a food thing. I guarantee it. It's going to be a food thing. Well, how are they going to, whatever. Well, how you're going to recognize it is a food thing. Oh, it's too expensive to buy. It's not available. The supply chain, this. It's illegal. Yep. You're not allowed to, oh, my God, you had a cow. I mean, you know, whatever, you know, he had a cow, SWAT team. So I am killing the ozone or something. So I am, like, very attuned to this and what's coming, but I need to understand they, them, those that won't leave us alone. The elite, the bad guys, the they, them, those that they seek out and get energy from having the shiny badge and control over people because they can. And then all I see them, like, they're like the vampires, you know, they're like the Draculas. But then they got all their minions doing the work for them, you know, for a little benefit. They're the familiars. They're the ones that are out in the open. They're the ones walking around in the daylight. There's one. If you know Klaus Schwab, he's the even man. If you know his name, it ain't him. Okay.
He's just he's just another Renfield.
Right. You know? Exactly. He's just another, you know, one of the out front. So I'm going, okay, there is a reason. They see this, it's like a religion to be evil. They're going to get a front seat in hell or something. I mean, it gets down to kind of the stuff that you talk about.
Yes.
Is that there is a, there's a motivation. They're this way because they feel it benefits them in some way. They, sociopaths, psychopaths, have no empathy for humanity or other people as individuals. And sometimes they get pleasure in just freaking moving pieces around the chessboard. So, like Soros, I mean, they're proud of it, you know? Look what I did. Ha, ha, ha. So there is, for us to organize against this stuff, is one, become knowledgeable in what Mark Pascio is going to tell you about. Then I'm going, okay, then how do you organize against it? What do you attack? You know, where's your opposition? What's the target? How do, is it yourself? Is it the guy in the mirror? You know,
is I'm going to
go fix somebody? I'm going to go, you know, vote. You know, better, harder at all. I mean, see, I'm want to get down. I want to keep bringing it back to the focus of a freaking solution.
It is absolutely an individual based change that needs to occur. And as you said, it is the person looking back from the mirror. To change the self is to change the world. And what the ultimate thing that is controlling everything is ideology. It's false ideology. It's wrong thinking. Wrong thinking leads to wrong behavior in the world. See, everything begins as a thought in consciousness. That's it.
Wrong thinking goes to a jail cell for January 6th.
Yeah. You know, that's the most dangerous thing that ever happened in our society. You know, it isn't the embrace of all of the destructive ideologies that people just completely absorb and take as absolutely true and then act upon and then do in unimaginable damage to themselves and everyone around them. You know, if you really want to get down to the underlying ideology that underlies all of it, and that's what has to be eradicated, the ideology of how they have positioned us to think in society, how these occultists that are behind the ostensible corridors of power, that are really truly enthroned behind the scenes. I call them covert religion. Okay. This is how we have to look at the world of the occult. Okay. The occult simply means hidden. It is occulted from sight. It is hidden from our view. They don't do these things out in the open because if people understood truly how they worked, they wouldn't fall for their strategies and techniques. So they want to remain hidden. They want us to be unaware of their strategies and techniques, and they want those to stay in the realm of the occult world. I'm a de-occultist. I'm trying to take things out from the realm of being hidden and display them openly to people in the world so that they can see them for what they are.
All right, what is the main thing? What is the main
covert religion? The main ideology is what I would call Satanism, the satanic ideology. Okay, now you have to not see this as a religious term, and that's difficult. One of the most difficult things that I've ever done in all of my work since I've been doing this for the past 16 years, since about late 2007, one of the most difficult ongoing tasks of my work is to try to accurately convey to someone what truly the religion of Satanism actually is. It does exist. It is a worldwide religion that is adhered to by thousands and thousands of people worldwide. And it is the religion of the elite occult class. Okay, the people really behind the scenes of the power structure, whether they even call it Satanism or not, that's irrelevant. They are Satanists in their mentality, in their mentation, in their ideology. And then so that ideology directs the course of their actions. And this is one of the hardest things that there it has been for me to do, because I was not only involved in that ideology, I joined organizations that are actual like registered religions in the United States and have an actual formulated religious form of an ideology defining the hallmarks, the characteristics, and the tenets of this worldwide religion called Satanism. So it is not what people believe it to be, as worshiping the Christian variation of the devil, of this supreme, a horrible being of evil, okay, who runs all the other evil now, in the universe.
Let me skip to the end on this and see if I can, kind of define this as my personal experiences with this stuff before I came across Mark Passio, explained it to me. My experience was this. There are benefits in being a sociopath. When you don't have a moral hurdle to get over, to do whatever it takes to succeed in the business, to eliminate competition, to make sure you get elected, the blah, 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 to, assassinate, murder, do the whatever it takes. We could rule if we only took out this one guy, this thing, this institution, this whatever. And definitely the middle class of America, okay?
Yep.
That's definitely on the list.
Yep.
So I'm going, once you realize that these individuals that congregate, you don't think they will? Just go on some internet forums and you'll find, they congregate, okay?
Oh, yeah.
So they feed off of each other. This is how the FBI gets some, weak-willed individual and get them to buy and commit and arrest them. And look, we saved you from, whatever that we created, from this kid that, had a couple of screws loose. So there's a bunch of these people, but a lot of them are very intelligent, very smart, very capable. And through that, they have accumulated resources that then they want to get more resources. And how they can do that is they gather these types of people that will do it. You got some automatons that, hey, pay me, man, I'll kill whoever, and doesn't matter, assassination, hit squad, don't care. Okay, that there's those guys. Then you have people that are just born this way. They don't have an empathy, portion of their brain functioning.
Yep.
They don't care. Then you have some that are made this way, and the depraved crap that they go through their life of whatever, you create them. And then you have organizations of these people, people that come together. And a lot of times they're secret or not so secret or whatever, because evil is so bad sometimes that you expose to it, it's like you can't even believe it, or certainly don't believe it's so organized. That there are tiers, that there's groups, there's little star chambers of we're going to and got a plan and secret handshake of the secret club of the secret whatever. This has been going on through history. History is mile marked with this stuff all over the place, and we're going through it now, right?
Yep.
Freaking not later. Now. And Mark has stitched a lot of this together and go, and this group and this action and this law and these people. So that if they go to the dark occult origins of Nazism and communism, which is every other ism, it's going to be included.
Right.
And it's a special all day, 12-hour freaking, you're going to get a dose. So this what is it that you're trying to impart? The people that attend and they come out of this, they're going, holy crap, I didn't know it was I need to put on the armor of God and go whip some ass. I got to go buy a gun. I got to what?
They're going to say, oh, my God, I didn't know what he just laid out. I will guarantee that people who attend Two Masks, Same Face, The Dark Occult Origins of Nazism and Communism, coming up on October 21st, just 10 days from today. I guarantee that almost everyone in that audience is not going to know approximately 90% of the content that I deliver on October 21st at this presentation. I'm going to speak for 9 hours. And I'm probably going to take all of it up during the course of the day. There's going to be a lunch break and dinner break because people have to eat and replenish themselves. But my presentation is probably going to be a full 9 hours. And I'm going to lay out the underlying ideology, as number one, of what has driven both of these types of totalitarian regimes. The other thing I'm going to lay out, and I want to get to that ideology, actually, if we have time, but the other thing that I lay out in it is that they are not diametric opposites as people believe them to be when they have only studied them from a purely political perspective. You know, how many people believe that Nazism is the diametric opposite of communism and they're mortal, bitter enemies? At one specific time period in history, that could be considered somewhat, you know, to a certain extent the case. But if you really dig deeper and look at their underlying ideologies, they are almost identical. They just differ in the ways that they want to carry out their agendas. So they differ pragmatically. But if you really look down deeper under the surface, ideologically, they all share the same commonalities of that completely centralized, controlled dictatorship, controlling all the resources, controlling the people, making incredibly strict laws about what they can do, making decisions about who can express what ideas, censoring any opposing ideas, eliminating their dissidents and political opponents, even building whole structures in society containing rigid hierarchical authoritarian structures, having secret police, having secret encampments and forced labor camps, etc. I mean, you look at the actual implementations of these two types of totalitarian societies, and they're almost identical in everything that they did. They just differ in their approach and the way that they want to take society there. That's all. So if you really study it, and this is my basic thesis, is that behind the scenes of those authoritarian, totalitarian structures of both Nazism and communism, there is a commonality and there is a common general network of people that all want society to go down that path. They give you the dialectic of two prison societies to choose between in the extreme forms of politics, right? If you choose the lesser extreme forms of politics, that's a different dialectic. That's Republican versus Democrat, labor versus conservative, you know, liberal versus conservative. The whole idea is you're still choosing a form of control. You're still choosing a form of covert slavery. And it's the same thing with these two dynamics. And ultimately, it's still the same groupings of people behind the scenes, and it's still the same underlying ideologies. They are two masks on the same face. One is presented in that left-wing aspect, one is presented in that right-wing aspect, but they ultimately belong to the same bird of prey, and they have the same root religion. They have the same root religious beliefs that drive their ideology.
Which is what?
That's the thesis. Yes.
Okay. No,
which is Satanism.
And you're going to have a lot less resistance, you yes. know, on this now than maybe you've had a decade ago.
We'll see. I hope so. But that root religion is dark occultism, and it's what I would simply call, for the vast majority of the followers of that system, it is Satanism. So Satanism is a subset of what I call dark occultism. It's taking the knowledge of the occult, which has the knowledge of how the human psyche works and how the real laws of nature work, particularly the laws of nature that govern society's behavior. There are behavioral spiritual laws that actually govern an entire
now we had a break. Yeah, Starlink's been working pretty good, but sometimes it has a break here every now and then.
Everything.
Okay, we had another 10
glitch.
Second glitch
okay.
there. Yeah, it's working pretty good, but, does that. I just don't like having anything. It's one person, one entity, does a button, and you're done. You know,
Sure.
So we got to get decentralized on media transmission. But
absolutely.
What you're proposing is that all these isms are they're just wrapped, you know, with the same thing. They're going to do what they're going to do. And it's, you know, somehow they're going to rationalize that what's yours is not yours anymore. It's theirs under
right.
for the common good of, you know, the homeland, the fatherland, the motherland, or some land, you know. And it's all rationale because you did it wrong and you didn't get the right permission slip and all that, which is why I'm just like, you know, I'm done. And I'm just going out on the land. It's, you know, anybody got a higher claim to it? I paid money. It came to me. It's mine. I got right here. You know, they bite me. All right. Well, then, of course, they're going to go, oh, no, you can't. Hey, man, I'm collecting my own rainwater. Hey, man, nothing's, I got a berm around. Nothing's going off my land. Hey, man, nothing's coming on my land. Hey, man, God rained on me and it's mine. I mean, you don't freaking get over it. I grew it. You know, screw you. What about the roads? Well, stop charging me taxes, and, you know, and then you can tell me about it. So this is this mindset is what they're challenging. And I got a website that somehow it came up, and I go, oh, yeah, I'm getting that. And I can't remember what it was. Something like, could it be, you know, could it be Staten? I mean, you know, so I got Statenism.com or Statenist.com or something like that. Mm-hmm. So Statenist, you got a project for it. That's a Mark Passio thing. You need that, man.
Statenism. I like it.
You know, could it be Statenism? So I'm going, that's definitely a Mark Passio thing. So, yeah, you got a plan for it, man. It's all you. So it's, I can see this coming, but for people to understand it, not so much like, yeah, I guess it is. It's like a supernatural philosophy. I mean, is it just they are just evil, no empathy, and we're willing, and we get to the front by doing it? Or is it actual, we're looking to conjure up some demon help, you know, by sacrificing children? I mean,
no. So see, that's the common misperception of the satanic religion. And, you know, I've explained this innumerable times, and I think society as a whole really needs to allow this to truly sink in and grok it. They need to understand it in its fullness, that Satanism is a mentality and a way of being in the world. It's a way of, it's a worldview, and then it's a modality of behaving in the world. That's what it is. So if you look at it in a dual sense, Satanism is first and foremost a worldview and an ideology. It is not a set of religious practices or religious beliefs, number one. And this is what religionists will insist that it is not. And they're doing a lot of harm to society by insisting that their interpretation of Satanism is the real one versus what the actual mentality and ideology of Satanism really is operating in the world according to its general overarching ideological principles, if you will. They're not principles, they're ideologies. So if we look at the four main ideologies that underlie Satanism and satanic thought, okay, and again, they only call it Satanism to take the imagery, to take the symbolism of the chief rebel angel biblically and turn that into the externalization of their belief system, of their ideology. Okay. So they don't worship Satan and conjure demons. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't sects of dark occultists that may engage in activity like that and believe in all that stuff, but that's not what the ideology, the underlying mentality of what drives the world, what is really the ideology of the people who are the psychopaths in all the positions of power, is this general four-point or four-tenet ideology. And that is egotism, moral relativism, social Darwinism, and finally, eugenics, if it grows to that extent, as many societies have. Okay. So if you, what I'm starting to tell people is that if you inculcate people into the first two, they're going to descend into the second two. Okay. So tenet number one is the ego should be placed above everything else. You put the ego in the position of apotheosis or godhood. Okay, so the first main tenet of Satanism is the self is ultimately all that matters, and the preservation of self, no matter what you have to do to other people, right, is me mentality. I got to get what's mine. I got to get what I want. It doesn't matter if that harms other people, because the second tenet is moral relativism, right? So if ego is driving everything, and we're not looking at anything from a perspective of higher consciousness, but we're looking at everything from the base consciousness and material needs level only, right? And this is what both Nazism and communism did. They looked at everything only from a perspective of what they wanted. They looked at everything only from a perspective of secularism and materialism. As a matter of fact, atheism was the one of the core central tenets of communism. Okay, the Nazis had some peculiar religious beliefs, but their form of nationalism, you know, was the driving underlying form of egotism that they you know had and brought forth in their subjects. So, egotism is first in Satanism, in dark occultism in general. It's service to self only, and maybe. My own family, those around me, those who, you know, I benefit from them helping me. That's it. That's the first tenet of Satanism.
Okay, so, well, go ahead and do the four, but I want to see how that goes into their little secret handshake club.
If the self is all that matters, ultimately, and all you're concerned is about implementing what you want. I mean, this is a big part of politics. I ask people, just think about that first tenet. How many people are deeply embedded in the ego? How many people only care about themselves and their only thoughts from the minute they wake up till the minute they go to sleep at night is, what can I do for me? And what can other people do for me? That's it. That's all they think about. So this is already completely inculcated and entrenched into human society.
Let me go ahead and challenge that a little bit. I want to, you know, see, I'm going to get in trouble. All right. My wife and I have this discussion a lot, and I'm like, the only way I know how to be free is to advocate it for everybody. But
that's right.
I'm still selfish. It's about me. Me, you know? So, but I go to my wife, I say, look, I mean, don't you think it's better that I acknowledge that I believe and I understand that I have empathy for others and their freedom and want them to succeed? I'm not willing to, you know, take away their freedom to be whatever the heck they want, because I don't care. Mm-hmm. You know, but I see an attack on someone else's freedom as an attack on mine out of self-preservation because it's about me.
So that's right. Well, that's enlightened self-interest. That's not out of control egotism. And you're in the minority taking that
self-interest.
Position.
Self-interest. Okay. I work with that. Okay.
There's a difference between
I'm an enlightened self-interesting guy. So,
There's a difference Thanks between having enlightened self-interest because understanding individual rights benefits the whole of society.
Right.
So and again, as you said, it has to get taken down to the level of individualism. You know, all totalitarian regimes and the dark occult bases their ideology on collectivism. You know, that's the whole point, you know, but yet within their own mindset, it's all about the self. But you're in the minority taking that enlightened self-interest position, though, and so am I.
I'm
because
enlightened
how many
self-interested.
People, well, I how many to... people don't care about other people's rights? How many people only want what they want, and they don't care whose rights get destroyed in the process of getting what they want?
Okay, so go ahead and finish your four thing. I interrupted, and I wanted to make sure you got through your four.
And I would say not just politicians. The average everyday member of the public that goes out and wants the politician's vision forcibly implemented on their fellow human being. So, you know, that's egotism. And it's everywhere in our society. Then we have moral relativism. So, again, borne out by actual scientific data, asking people about our rights. Subjective or are they objective? Are they based on an objective moral standard or are they human constructs? Do we get to make them up? Over 2/3 of people, about 67% of people in the latest figures that I have been able to come up with through social experimentation are moral relativists. They believe that there is no objective standard of morality and no objective difference between right and wrong behavior, that right and wrong can be subjectively invented as constructs of the mind.
And if you make any other argument, well, I was a philosophy class at Arizona State University. I was making the argument that the utilitarian result and everybody benefits from individual rights being protected is the most good, you know.
That's right.
You did it wrong. You said it wrong. See, that was one thing that was interesting to me. They didn't grade you on, you spelled right and margins got and you put your name on it or whatever. They were grading your opinion in philosophy class. And I go, wow. They go, the fact that you, this is Arizona State University, 1981, okay? And they, like, the fact that you argued that defense of individual rights is the most benefit to the most people, as opposed to just whatever they deem to be moral relativism mm-hmm. at the time, I'm going, that's not allowed. That's a bad argument. I got D. And that was when the bloom fell off the rose for me at college. I thought that I was going to be in higher, you know, thought yep. and discussion, yep. but, and I was just being indoctrinated worse than I was in high school. And now,
they
of course,
want
it's gone down
to
the grade
inculcate
school.
Moral relativism into the population's mind, especially
as a primary goal.
That's right.
This is a goal. I've seen it because I was recognized it then. It got worse. It was constant. It's pervasive and it's omnipotent. Or I'm the presence. Damn for Skippy. So this is, you know, so we can get on this stuff. Finish your other two, you know, sure. Things. So. Shut up.
You know, so if you buy into the first two, egotism and moral relativism, if you're an egotist and you're a moral relativist, if you believe that human beings are the arbiters of morality, you know, that morality are just social constructs that human beings invent, then we can create and decide what right and wrong are for ourselves. We don't have to discover what they are. Based on whether they cause, whether they initiate harm to other beings or not, we could just say anything we don't like is wrong morally. And if you do that, you'll be punished, you know? And think about it. Societies do that all the time. This is the basis of government. Some places you can listen to certain kinds of music and end up in a prison. You know, other places, it's perfectly fine. Some places you could do a substance and end up in a jail cell. And other places, it's perfectly fine. Some places you can carry a firearm and you'll end up in a cage. And some places, it's perfectly fine. That's the definition of moral relativism. And people don't see the inherent philosophical and moral contradiction of man's laws in that sense. You know, so all of these types of societies, these totalitarian regimes, are first based on egotism and moral relativism. And as I said, if you buy the first two tenets of Satanism, and almost all the people of this planet do, you're going to quickly descend and degenerate into the last two tenets, which is organizing a society based on ruthlessness and the will to conquer and dominate. That's social Darwinism. This is an extrusion and an extension of Darwin's macrobiological evolutionary theory of the animal kingdom extruded into the human domain as social Darwinism. And again, both the Nazis and the communist nations of the world all embraced the concept of social Darwinism. And this is the idea that those who are the most dominant will rule the social strata, and they will create their own hierarchical structures and rule everybody else. And that's normal, natural, and necessary. This is what social Darwinists believe. And again, we did social experiments asking people if they identify with the ideology of social Darwinism, and about 2/3 of people everywhere we polled believe in social Darwinism. It's absolutely unbelievable the results that come in of how
yeah,
many people.
Yeah, but what
are
do you do with the deplorable? You're not allowed, and you're challenging our, and you can't, and we rule you. And, you know,
people got to get right up in their face and say, no, it's absolutely you who are incorrect. You haven't thought it through logically. You haven't taken in enough information. You haven't actually arrived at the truth through a scientific process of weeding out logical inconsistencies in your mentation and
ideology.
Well,
we went through this the last few years, Mark. I mean, you know, this is – you can sit there and come up with all kinds of proof. And I'll give you a good example. We were in Pennsylvania visiting Donna's mother on her way back to Arizona. And she wanted to, you know, because she lived in a really nice, you know, assisted living. They got various different, you know, ways. You got your own apartment. They got cafeteria. You could be independent living. You could have more help. You could have nursing care, whatever. It's a nice place. So they let us, when we go visit, it's like the third or fourth time as we're going back and forth across the country over the years, park the bus in a big parking lot area they have. It's usually just us out there, but it's seen by everybody. So they got the love bus up there. Ooh, what's the love bus? Where's the stripper poles? I mean, they want to come, see what's up. So my mother-in-law's friends, we want to go see the inside of the bus, meet your son-in-law, daughter, and so they come on. We say, what's up? One of the women, you could tell she was the alpha of the group, and she's just like, and looks up what we were doing, and the Love Bus Liberty Tour is all about opposition to vaccine mandates. We went and did signs everywhere, all that kind of stuff. Oh, she goes on, man. She wants to explain it to me, And she was going, the science and the science and the CDC and the WHO, the science, and I'm going, wow. Well, that's, they're wrong. I don't believe in it. All I got to do is wait. Well, we can't have a conversation if you just think the whole world's in on it.
Right.
I think the whole world's in on it, okay? Or certainly all these institutions.
That's why they inculcate people into their ideology. They know that they have to steer the mind. The mind is going to ultimately direct the person's worldview and then determine ultimately their behavior. That's why they always play their strategy from the level of information and worldview. That's primary. Yeah, that's primary to their strategy.
The WHO passed a thing. The CDC says, somebody says. Well, if you don't believe the CDC, I don't believe the CDC. Now
right.
what?
Right.
So the thing, my question is this. I told her, I said, there's no sense in arguing it. All I have to do is wait. It's going to be a year,
that's
two,
right.
three. It's going to be
right.
obvious.
Right.
So all I got to do is wait. That pissed her off.
We may be at the very beginning of that process at this point,
right?
Where people are just starting to see that it was all a lie.
What is the future of someone like that? They go, I'm sorry, I didn't know, or have they molded, have they built, have they indoctrinated, have they, something to where even though they may know, they got to
right.
produce some cognitive dissonance and, mentally gymnastic
that's
ideas
what will
in their
happen.
Head. And
yes.
then what happens to them? They go nuts.
So have you ever heard the saying, an honest person, upon realizing that they have been mistaken, either ceases to be mistaken or ceases to be honest? That's the process that lies ahead for people like that. They are going to have to choose between the embrace of truth or clinging onto their former ideology as a maggot clings to a dead corpse, because that is what these ideologies are. And they've led to nothing but death and destruction.
It results in what?
It should result in.
Is it civil war? They got to cleanse,
depends on the numbers. That depends on the numbers. If we do our job, and I mean, when I say we, I'm talking about the people who already understand that there's a problem and want freedom and know that we're losing our freedom. If we do our job for proper moral education of the populace, see, this is why, again, I think that my work comes out so differently than many other people's, because they're always focused on simply, again, those 3D worldly events, and then looking at pragmatic, solutions that implement some form of a system or a currency or a technology. And it's like, I'm trying to bring it back to the root level of the first thing that has to be completely and fundamentally changed at the foundational level is the way one thinks. And see, the freedom movement isn't so good at doing that. They look at Bitcoin as an example, right? All of the same ideology of the regular stock market and existing fiat currency system were brought into the cryptocurrency ecosystem. We believe that we're going to create this new system and it's going to somehow make society so much better, but we're bringing the same ideology with us. It's like Californians in radical leftist beliefs, in radical leftist forms of socialist democracy, so-called, are bringing their ideological beliefs into other states after it ruined vast portions of California. And then the people aren't changing their mentation. They're saying, wow, this was an abject failure. I got to get out of here and
it's
go move somewhere else.
It's the Californication of Arizona.
Yep. And they're bringing their mentality with them. So this is what I'm trying to explain to people. This goes on within the freedom movement. It's not just in the leftist sphere of influence. It's in the freedom movement itself. People aren't changing the fundamental thoughts that they think. They're still inculcated and indoctrinated.
Okay.
Into
now, this goes back to my
relativism.
Original. I wanted you to comment on solve and cure it for me.
Okay.
As you we go in, I'll just paint a picture. Donna and I are in a race. Over the last few years, once we sold everything and got the bus and the studio and went back and forth across the country, last August was the time that we had planned to settle down and start building. But the land prices shot to the moon. You know, inflation was going, I'm going, no, I'm not doing it now. This shall pass pretty quickly. I can wait a year. As we were going back and got the land that we're got our eyeballs on, it's dropped in price like crazy. Silver hasn't popped up, but I'm like, you know, that's going to happen. And, you know, the sooner or later, and we're like in the, but we've been accumulating supplies, equipment, material, machines, you know, the kind of, we got stored on some friend's land there that we don't, we're ready, and we get back, and here we go, okay? As I'm doing this, my whole idea is just be left alone. I know they're not going to leave us alone. I can feel it. So we'll be doing some activist stuff and everything, bring attention to a lot of this stuff, and in fact, maybe even you, for what we're doing in Arizona. It's a long story, I tell you off air. But the point is that as we're doing this, who are we appealing to? You know, the original documents of America, the Declaration of Independence. I'm challenging the man to be able to tell me what to do on my land because it's mine. You know, I'm asserting my right. I'm aligning with certain ideologies and people willing to sacrifice a couple of acres as a test case, blah, 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 because I'm not leaving this battle to my grandkids. Because you know what's coming. I could see it back when my children were my grandkids' age, and it was by 2016. I go, this. I told my wife, I go, by the time that they're our age then, they're in their late 20s, which is 16, I go, it's not going to be the same country. We're going to have this. We need to, you know, get out there and know what's up. I'm just looking for the truth. Well, now you advocate for that truth is going to be, like you said in the beginning of the show, it's property. It's what's mine.
That's right.
I own myself. I took my life and liberty and created this thing, worked this thing, built this thing from raw nothing of thing. That's my thing. Okay. Well, no, you know, the greater good of, you know, peace and redistribution of you got too much and somebody done it and it's ours now. I'm like, oh, no, it's not. So as that philosophy, if you advocate for that, of course, they, them, those are going to go, ooh, they're selfish and bad and evil, and we got to, you know, take their stuff because they don't deserve because they're white or something, okay? So I'm going, okay, there may be even a minority, significant minority, but there's been a minority in their side, like a thorn, and they just, man, we got to get some. And what they're doing, whether you're a Trump supporter or not, what they're going after, the J6 people that, you know, resisted the idea that it was a fair election. You have people that, you know, America first, whatever that means. You have, you know, people that are using the system and advocating for not what they want, whatever the heck it is. They just want to sit down, shut up, and comply. They're not putting on masks. They're not doing the vaccines to a larger degree than people realize. You know, but it's significant, at least a minority, if not a majority, are saying no, in spite of all of the government education, of all the propaganda, of all the control and ownership of the media, in spite of big tech, in spite. There's those freaking Mark Passios out there not getting with the program, okay? So this is what is going to be under attack. We just had, last week we had a story up, Trudeau in Canada now has regulations on podcasts. the Biden administration is getting a bunch of, we got to track and surveil and find and somebody, and you're not doing it right. So we've been focusing heavy on uncensored ability for our streaming and IPFS and all this other stuff, because I see that coming. It's going to come. Mm-hmm. They're going to shut down whatever they're going to shut down. If they can, they are. That's just the way
they can't abide having any ideological opposition. That's the MO of every totalitarian regime and every cult.
So my question is, then what? Where what is left to us? You had the First Amendment and the Second Amendment, the Third Amendment. Well, the Second, why was it the Second? To protect the First. You know,
that's
we
right.
do this.
And once they take
this.
The First away, it's going to have to go to that.
Okay.
You know, unfortunately.
So let's talk
and
about
And hopefully
that.
People will have the gumption and the courage to, when it absolutely must go there, and some would argue it already is at that point, that they actually do what's going to be required to do.
Which is?
You know? Well, think about it. Should the Jewish people still living in the Nazi regime when it formed have rebelled against the existing power structure? Would they have been right and within their absolute natural rights
they
to do
the
so?
They did in the Warsaw Ghetto.
That, and so that's the only place that they had a higher incident of survival. They had a higher ratio of survival among the population there where they actually physically rebelled. You know, people believe staying quiet and not getting involved is going to keep them safe. That's exactly what's going to get them exterminated. You know, that's
okay,
the
so
exact
here
dynamic
comes
that
the gazillion
that destroys
dollar question.
People. Mm-hmm.
So how do you organize? We all hail the Saint Mark Passio. What would he say for me to do?
By individually learning objective truth and objective morality. That's a self-directed process. It's not putting anybody up on a pedestal as a leader, as all totalitarian regimes. I mean, Hitler was literally called Führer, which means leader. Stalin was worshipped as a personality-like leader in the Soviet Union. You know, that's not the answer, obviously, because that's all ego aggrandizement. That's part of egotism. You know, that's part of wanting to become God. Again, that's what the underlying satanic ideology of these regimes is wanting to become God. I have actually two sections in the presentation where I talk about all of the ways that the people in this society and the power structure of these societies wanted to be God. That is the ultimate idea of what Satanism is. Satanism is the idea that man is God, that man's laws are God's laws. Okay, and that you're virtuous for your obedience and you're virtuous for following
compliance.
Their mindset and following their orders, right? To them, obedience is a virtue. This is how it works in any cult. You know, part of what I describe is not only are these not just political ideologies, Nazism and communism were not just political ideologies, they were religions. They had all of the defining hallmarks and characteristics of purely religious thought, religiosity to the core. And that not only were they religions, but they were cults.
And turn into heretics.
Exactly. A cult is a religion that, once it is implemented in an area, becomes dangerous to anyone who is not one of its ideological supporters and purveyors.
Oh, these guys got to be opposed. It's just how. But before we get to that, I want to get to the how and, you know, stuff. But the four things, I want to make sure we didn't miss anything. We got the egoism. We got the moral relativism. And then what's the third one?
Social Darwinism, which we talked about, which is structuring society according to the macrobiological Darwinian theory of, quote, survival of the fittest, or in this case, when you extrude it into the human domain, it isn't survival of the fittest, it's the survival of the most ruthless members of society.
Yeah, you're going to be ruled by us because you led us and you're allowing us and we can, so we are, and we told you we were going to, so we did, and our moral relativism is we told you that we were going to do it and it's all about us, so screw you.
Right. So once you accept social Darwinism, setting up society like an animalistic hierarchy, right, then it's a very quick and slippery descent into eugenics. And you could argue that only the Nazis practiced eugenics, but I would say all totalitarian regimes engage in ethnic cleansing. They engage in the eradication of their political opponents, which is a form of, you could call it, ideological democide, death by government because of your ideology. It's a form of genocide, really. Okay. But they all engaged in that, so eugenics is the idea that only the people with the characteristics move forward in the human social domain are allowed to propagate their genes. Everybody else has to be killed, exterminated, sterilized, or, basically ostracized from society so that they cannot propagate their genes and their ideas down to the next generation of people. Eugenics is the ultimate final solution. It's their ultimate end game, is eliminating their perceived ideological opposition. So those are the tenets of Satanism.
All right. So let's go ahead and rattle them off, just real quick so people know. Ego.
Sure.
Then we egotism, have moral relativism,
social Darwinism, and eugenics are what I call the pillars or the table legs of the satanic
so
ideology.
So the eugenics is the justification. We're higher, greater, better. You're just down on the food chain, sheep, and yep. We're going to shear you and get over it.
Since our genes got us to this position and we're now ruling the human social strata, then we get to decide who lives and who dies. That's the ultimate. And we're already there. That's what these so-called vaccines were all about. It's a eugenics operation. It's a human population reduction operation worldwide.
And you'll thank us. We're doing you a favor.
And it was a small test. It was small. This is small testing grounds for what they want to implement. They're going to do things far, far, far more destructive. And
which
I've been warning
you think
people
that
about
the,
it.
The central bank digital currency, is that a thing? Is that one
I
of the
I think they
want to
implement
or
something that they can shut currency off when people aren't behaving themselves as they want them to.
Is that an goal or just a tool?
It's a tool. It's not an ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is they want to reign in hell rather than serve in heaven. Yeah. This is about wanting to be God. This is about wanting man to be God and usurp the laws of the creator of the universe and implement man's own laws in the place of the creation's laws.
Okay, now let me.
That is exactly what their goal is.
I want to make this statement and get your freaking opinion because, what Mark says. All right. The common response to a lot, the audience sums up this way. It's going to come down to blood and steel. I mean, it has to. It's going to come down to you have to, I'm not going to. No, you really have to. I'm really not going to. And then what? Okay?
Right.
And it's going to be a whole bunch of you have to's that are going to be, because they just bite up more and more and more. We're going to indoctrinate your children with whatever the weird crap they want to do. We're going to, close churches and gyms and bars. You're not allowed to First Amendment unless you're doing rioting for the right cause or some crap like that. If you resist our election fraud or even you want to protest, jail, okay? We're going to, and they are. So at some point, one of two things happens. You look at the future of a country, and it's always, or any society or anything, it's always what's incentivized and what's punished. If you incentivize sloth, inactivity, dependency, disability, being scumbag, lazy, give me my universal basic income check, whatever, you're going to get more of that. If you punish productivity and with a progressive income tax and permits and you're not allowed to open a business and you didn't get permission slip to build a house of whatever the heck, you grew tomatoes in your front lawn, that's so freaking not allowed, so saith the piece of paper. So as that becomes obvious and obvious to even a tireless minority setting brush fires in the minds of men, a.k.a. Mark Passio, as you have that kind of dynamic, at some point it is better, to die as a free man than live right. as a slave on your knees kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that always happens. But then you get You know, Biden comes up and says, yeah, we got F-16s and we'd kick your ass. And then you have, like, Kamala, we know where all you MAGA people are going to get you. You know, and then they do it. At some point, there has to be a – it's when it becomes a food thing. When you go hungry, bow, 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 I am like, you know, there's going to be incentive in my children and, you know, the milk of I need formula of whatever the heck. They're going to try.
And that's what happens in a centrally planned economy and a centrally planned distribution system as we have in America.
And then what? This
is the pattern of every communist nation that has ever existed, every socialist nation that has ever existed.
So what can we
including
expect
including
the here?
Nazis?
What can we expect?
Know, communism
we
killed
got guns. Is that going to save
communism
us?
Killed more people through constructed famine. Famine that was actually a result of their centrally planned economy and agricultural system that failed than any other mechanism, including political assassination and gulags. Famine was the number one killer in the 20th century that communist nations actually
I just started the book Red Famine. Red Famine is on this very thing, Stalin and Ukraine and all that, because my wife and her family are originally from Ukraine, so they got like contacts there and stuff going on. And so my mother-in-law, Donna, bought it for her. She read it, and it totally blew her mind, because she could see all of a sudden crazy son-in-law Ernie had been saying this kind of crap for, you know, it's going to be a food thing. And then she reads this, like, damn, it rhymes a lot, you know? So
well, I'd like to go back to something that you said, that it has to come to that form of, you know, aggression. And I don't think that it does. It more likely than not, it's going to. But I would not want to. I personally don't use the term it must come to that. All of the work that I've been doing over these
now,
many years
most of my
is to try to
says
avert
that.
That. Oh, know, absolutely.
It's not
yeah.
me, but, you know, I'm looking for a way out. You know,
that's not a set way in stone in the universe. That's not some mandate of nature that it has to come to that. And it will come to that if human beings don't change their currently entrenched mindsets that have been inculcated and indoctrinated into them. See, the whole thing that's going to direct the outcome is the mind. And the problem is we're not reaching enough people in changing their mind because the ego is in the way. The ego is the force that does not want to allow people to say, I was wrong. Most people don't want to admit that their former ideology was a complete crock of BS. They don't want to acknowledge that they were duped and they bought into completely incorrect and morally wrong ideas because they consider themselves intelligent and good. And that's what's called the Dunning-Kruger effect. The Dunning-Kruger effect is people believe that they are more intellectually capable than they actually are. And it works in reverse. Very intelligent people with very high IQs actually believe that other people can understand a lot of the conceptual ideas that they can easily grasp and understand. And neither one of those things is true. Most people who are of average or low intelligence do not have they really don't have the knowledge that they believe that they do. And very intelligent people often ascribe to those completely unintelligent people and low IQ people that somehow they can really grasp the same things that they grasp. We have to try to sort of bridge that gap. We have to have people who can talk to the people who really don't have a lot of intellectual acumen, but there still may be some level of underlying intelligence to grasp common sense. Yes.
Well, memes, man. You know, it's all about memes. Blah, 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 blah. Skip to the end. You know, it makes it fun. That's one thing, you know, you hear, you know, the left can't meme. And the reason is because,
absolutely true.
Why, all right. Why do you think? Why do you think that is?
Because there's very little imagination and creativity once you've been completely inculcated into a cult-like mindset. Not to say that members of the, you know, far and religious right in America, as that's defined, the right, are any different. They're not drastically different. That's why I say I'm apolitical. I'm not for any party. I'm not for any so-called wing of politics. It's all a puppet show. It's all what I call polarization dialectics. Dialectics means you could take the left road or you could take the right road, but they're both ending up in a prison camp. You could take the left street or you could take the right street, but they're going to take you to the same slaughterhouse.
You know, one thing, how I described that, you know, it became obvious to me. It's a long story, but, you know, it was the left side or the right side of the All-CNI pyramid. It all goes up to the All-CNI. It's the same people doing the same thing.
That's right.
You know? So it's, and as you spend time on this and, you know, real politic, you know, like I've done, you know, lawsuits and campaigns and, you know, activism and all this kind of, you know, it becomes so crystal clear. As you do battle with these types of people and you move up, first they try to recruit you, okay? Hey, man, you're the one. Come on in. You know, we got all kinds of, you know, babes and bimbos and BMWs and, you know, green fees and whatever the heck, you know, be part of the crowd. Ooh, yep. It's going to be good.
They did that with me in my youth. They all, for a
they
time.
All, yeah, yep. It's like a standard. They need people like us. They need people that are, you know, smart enough to be able to make an argument, to be able to give a
to
speech.
To be used as their tool.
Exactly.
They want to use people as their tool,
they
their
even
intrums.
Said that they wanted me part of their stable.
Wow.
And I'm going,
of animals, yeah. A wow. term applied to animals,
but
yeah.
It's a really nice gilded stable, you know.
Yeah.
So this is standard operating procedure.
Yes.
The thing is as you get involved with these types of people, you start to see that they all share a common, and I didn't know what it was. I would be, there's something wrong with these guys. And it's like all of them, or they wouldn't be there. I mean, it's that they're recruited. You know, anybody that's good, they're pushed out. Anybody that kind of makes it in, anybody that, you know, skated by, anybody that, you know, BS'd them and got in the, you know, this too shall pass. We'll get rid of them. All the good cops, all the good prosecutors,
politicians. If you cut down to their underlying ideology, just go to Schwab's words and the words of the World Economic Forum, you will own nothing. Forget the second half.
And here's your happy
shot. They're telling you you'll be happy. But their main ideology is that they'll own everything and other people will own nothing, because they know that the root and foundation of all rights is property. So if you own nothing, you can have no rights. It is an impossibility to maintain human rights without the understanding of property and property rights. So this is because natural laws transgressions, the things that you do, that one can do to violate natural laws, are all violations of property. And every act that is a violation of natural law, morality, is a form of theft. So if you look at what human wrongs are, right? A right is a behavior, an action that does not initiate harm to other sentient beings. Well, then if that's the definition of a right, and it is, it's the correct definition of a right, an action or a behavior that does not initiate harm upon other sentient beings, then by definition, the definition of wrong becomes an act that does initiate harm against other sentient beings. So we need only to define what a right is in the negative sense by defining the very small, limited number of actions that are wrongdoings. And they are murder, assault, rape, theft, trespass, coercion, and deception. Every one of these behaviors that is a transgression against natural law morality is in and of itself a form of theft. Murder is the theft of life. Assault is the theft of well-being of the body. Rape is the theft of free will to sexually associate with whom one will. Theft is the taking of property. Coercion is the taking of free will. Trespass is the taking of security in one's living space. And deception is the taking of the ability of someone to make a truly informed choice by willfully giving them wrong information, false information.
Yeah, take a shot.
To deceive them. Yeah. So, we have to stop doing those things that steal from other people. All of natural law and the ultimate solution can be summed up to one very basic, simple concept. Understand what property is, what your property is and what it is not, and don't steal.
Okay.
Don't take from others that which does not belong to you. That's the one law of the universe.
This has been my thing. My entire adult life has been in political activism since the late 80s. My children grew up, they didn't know any different. My grandchildren don't know any different. You know, Donna, you know, can't remember it being any different. You know, so this is, and it's culminated into this. I just want to be left alone. That was what the whole thing was about.
That's the first right. The very first right that one could truly define is if one wants to be left alone, they have the right to be left alone.
That's my vote.
See, that's the only two kind of people in the world. Those who want to be left alone, those who won't leave them alone.
That's my advocacy. Okay, now this is what we are doing. We're purchasing land in Arizona for the last few. We've been accumulating all our solar panels and power and batteries and inverters and, you know, lines of this and supplies of that and knowledge of here and gone to purchase, you know, kind of, okay, now you want to get Ernie off of your case? You want, you know, I'll just run my little website, do a few podcasts and show what I'm doing on the land kind of thing. All you got to do is leave me alone. I'm out here, leave me alone. And the only thing that we were waiting on, you know, is one, solar power and battery technology and everything really in the last few years is, oh my God. It has gotten to, all of a sudden, now you what was going to cost me $80,000 is now like $18,000. I mean, that kind of thing.
Right.
So I'm going, all right, this is doable. The only thing left was communication. And we're out in the middle of, I don't have cell coverage, but we're doing this with Starlink. Now, is it going to be Starlink? Don't know. It just demonstrated that it can be done. Worldwide, you know, communications, I can do, you know, the little poor farm boy in the cornfield out in the middle of nothing, ocean of corn, Iowa, can have something to say, just like Professor Dartmouth, whatever, who gives a crap, okay? So this is opened up so many more minds to be part of the discussion when you have half of the people living outside of the cities in flyover rural areas all of a sudden get to have a say and post their memes, okay?
Right.
And the reason the left can't meme is because, you know, from my perspective, is they have to have some truth. I mean, it has to be, you know, that's what makes it funny, you know? They can't. Because they don't have
to them, there is no such thing because they're completely subscribed to the ideology of postmodernism and in many cases solipsism, which rejects the notion that there is objective truth.
Okay, well, this is my objective truth. I am willing to, you know, do whatever level of battle I'm willing to do, you know, at the time and the creative methods of I exercise my first, you know.
Right.
In the purchase, occupation, and use of my property out on the edge of the county in the desert, 70 miles outside of, with a closest neighbor 3/4 of a mile away, and in a 5-mile area, I have probably 12 people, okay? So I'm going, at what point do I get to be left alone? Now, of course, my advocacy is going to be whatever it is I want to just do it, you know, and then I won't be waving. When you're hanging on by your fingernails, you don't go waving your arms around. Come get me, come get me. But maybe you do out of self-preservation. I bring in notice so you're not quietly going into that good night and they got a knife to make sure. So I'm just.
Right. These people will never leave people alone until they're stopped. And the way to stop them in the long term and the grandest sense is. Cease to continue to think in the terms that they want you to think. They are occultists who are actually people have to stop thinking of the occult as like demon conjuring magicians. That's not what the world of the occult is. People have to stop thinking of it like that. The occult is
that show up.
Ancient psychology that the knowledge of which held by a secretive group of people will allow them to steer and direct the minds of the entire human population. That is what the occult really is.
Okay, and let me give you some practical examples, and you can help me out here. Mm-hmm. I'm experienced in federal lawsuits, state lawsuits, Court of Appeals, Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, state appeal. Got it. Okay, you know, and usually, I was the initiator. I was the plaintiff. They wouldn't let me do. I say yes, I can. This, you know, whatever. So I anticipate that whatever I'm doing, there's going to be somebody with a shiny badge and cease and desist. You're not allowed. You didn't get a permission slip. So I'm prepared, you know, for that. Going, you know, I was waiting for you. Thanks for stepping into my parlor. You know, so then I could, you know, get a lot of press, have some fun, dude, you know, whatever, sacrifice a couple of acres of 20 or 39 or however big we get. And I'm going, you know, I made you say it. Make them make you, make them say it. Make them make you, and make them say it, okay? So by going through that, I'm using their system. I'm, you know, acknowledging their thing. Sure. As opposed to what? You know, the sheriff's coming down with their Waco SWAT helicopter or whatever the hell, right? So at what point do I have to contend with it? I just leave it alone or just, you know, hunker down and come take it, you know, send
at
in your
point,
Waco killers?
At some point, we have to have enough people who understand the moral wrongness of what these people are doing to eventually say no with teeth.
Okay, so are you saying I got to have a dozen people walking the wall? I mean, what are you saying?
I'm saying that it could very well come down to physical war and combat with all of the people who want to be left alone and versus all of the people who don't want to leave them alone. Because what the highest levels of the occult world want is a return to neo-feudalism. Many occultists of pre-Nazi Germany that very much ideologically, were the foundational ideologues that led to the creation of Nazi Germany, openly said that they wanted neo-feudalism. They wanted a new form of feudalism. I mean, one of the main occultists that influenced the Third Reich, Guido von List, was an advocate of monarchy and feudalism. And that's what communism actually is as well. Both national socialism and international socialism or communism are forms of neo-feudalism. They are basically saying that a ruling class, the royalty of the society, is to own everything, and they will allow people to live and work upon the land or so-called property, but ultimately they own everything, and it's a new form of feudalism
that they're just allowing people to live on their land. We'll give you a 99-year lease.
There's no ownership. Again, all it really comes down to is the concept that what they want to implement is a world without ownership. And a world without ownership is a world of no rights and human slavery. See, this is what people just have to grasp. And then the question becomes, that the real ideological and spiritual question is, when does the slave have the right to forcibly end their own slavery? That's all this comes down to.
Well,
it doesn't come down to any other dynamic. If someone's claiming to be
never.
Your master, right? They would say no. So did the African American blacks that were held on the plantations during the Civil War have the right to end the lives of the masters of the plantation and the hands of the plantation?
Well,
those who
worked
on the plantation. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, but in actual point of fact, reality and law of nature, did they have the right to end those people's lives at any given time? I mean, you can get as extreme as you want looking at this. Could a slave have gone into the house of the master and stabbed him to death in their own bed at any time? That would have been a right. That's a right of self-defense. You don't have to be actively attacked to have your rights being decimated. You don't have to be actively physically attacked to be held in a state of duress, a threat of violence, if you don't comply to the wishes of the master or ruling class. You know, this is what people have to get to the understanding of. The problem is an armed rebellion right now would probably not succeed because so few people understand that right of self-defense is a human right and could be acted upon within perfect moral boundaries. You know, to kill a master of another person, claiming that they are their master and the other being is their slave, is not a wrongdoing. You know, this is what people have to understand. There is a thing. There is such a thing in the natural realm as the right to end another person's life, the right to kill. There is never the right to murder, because murder is to take life without the right to do so. Murder and killing are two different things, and they're actually two different words in just about every single language that has ever defined them. They are not the same word, and they are not the same concept. You know, so the right of self-defense includes righteous killing. Absolutely, it does. You know, and the problem is so few people are domesticated into a complete lack of that understanding that a forcible rebellion at this point would not really have any long-term success, because so few people would ideologically support it and also get involved in it in a physical capacity. That's why we need to get people to the understanding of true objective morality and what one's rights are and what one's rights are not. Everything the government does is force, coercion, and duress. Every single thing that they do is violence, coercion, and duress. They don't not only have no right to do any of the things that they do, they have no right to exist as an institution, as a human institution, because the entirety of the institution is violence, duress, coercion, etc. And none of those things are human rights. They are all violations of rights, because they damage and destroy life, rights, and property.
So property.
It all comes back down to that.
Well, you know, that's, you know, just been my, you know, Donna and I, the only first thing that we actually owned as property was some land in northeastern Arizona near Sholo that we bought at auction in a tax sale from government to put it into a trust and not file it with the county recorder, so that we had the highest claim of ownership, and we paid the property taxes of, I don't know, $5, whatever, it was not much, but the $50 a year or something. But it was an experiment in that I can retain ownership, minus the got to give tax property tax to the man, but the ownership without a permission slip, without it being filed with them, without having my name on it, that's for damn sure, right. You know? And so we did that, decade and a half ago. So nobody's really going to challenge. If they do, I come in with court. Yep, I got the from you, by the way, you know, that kind of thing. So this is the first time, and we've always rented. We, you know, bought used cars, pay cash, you know, that kind of thing. And we have a credit rating. It's probably pretty good. I mean, we got, you know, credit cards and bills that we, you know, we've been paying off, paying down, and we're caught up on our taxes, you know, that kind of crap. But so then, oh, you're paying taxes, Ernie, you freaking heathen of, you know, you shouldn't have, whatever. Plus a dollar. You know, I go, oh, and here's an extra dollar.
Property tax is a hard one to do an end run around, you know, without armed people coming and doing immoral things to people.
So I'm looking at, this is the final promise for my wife. All this, these years of impoverished, we scrimped and saved. We sent all four of our kids, junior high and senior high, to private school. That was a chunk. And so we're push starting cars that may or may not have air conditioning, you know, that kind of thing. But we didn't see it as a sacrifice. It was an investment. You know, we're way better off now. Great grandkids, great family. We're all good. So
think about property.
Well, let me finish this. So I want to get your comment. So Donna, you know, on this last trip, when we did the Love Bus Liberty Tour in opposition to what we knew was coming, we had done vaccine education summits in 16 and 19, right before this all started. We knew what was coming. We, in 09, when Obama came in, we did the big, giant, you know, support first responders who say no to mandatory shot signs in front of all the firemen and police because they were trying to, you know, do their mandatory shots, and we were, you know, help hold that back. We went through all this stuff, and I go, Donna, you go with me on this on the road, because she likes having a home and, you know, hosting and having parties and family over and, you know, a lot of friends and supporters and stuff. Then I will build your house. You know, I'm 62. I got maybe, you know, at least, you know, been you know, making sure I'm physically able to do it and kind of
right.
been eking towards it, buying stuff, being serious about it. She knows that we're doing it. We're investing a lot in, you know, you get this generator, you get this solar equipment, you get this bat, you get, got a plan, architects working. It's going to happen here, right there. And we go. To do that and to invest finally in, there he is. There's Ernie. Oh, we got him now. You know, we're going, go get some. You know, we got it.
Right.
So you can see that I put myself in a vulnerable position that I need to prepare myself, you know, for the battle on.
Right.
Yes, it's property.
Because dominators and takers are going to come along, egotists, Satanists, you know, government, believing that the fruit of your labor belongs to them.
And I'm not leaving that battle to my grandchildren. I'm not
right.
doing it.
Nor
so
should
what
it
we build, we give to our kids to get split up in the trust of whatever, you know, boom, we did our thing. Now,
think about the word
I want to get the question
yes.
to you.
Okay, go ahead.
Is that in that circumstance,
mm-hmm.
my obligation to follow, not follow, how far should I go, how many, you know, bullets got to be fired, how, you know, many gun turrets do I got to have, or am I just mm-hmm. satisfied and kind of having an insulation couple of acres and make them say it, you know, and go through this process to show just how bad it is. And then you got to kind of comply a little bit, or you go hide, or you dig a hole, or you move to another country or whatever. Because what I'm doing, Mark, is a culmination of everything you're talking about. This
right.
is it. Here I go.
Yeah.
Now what? What is the line? What is the, you know, the mindset that I need to go in with this? What kind of battles? How far do I battle? Where do
well,
I stop
again,
the battle?
There's a difference between understanding what our rights are and what one does in nature, regardless of what any human being say, have the right to do, versus implementing certain actions as a strategy or tactic. So, in other words, if someone says, I'm not going to pay any property taxes and I'm still going to live in a piece of property, claim it as my own, and then I'm going to, in an armed capacity, defend it against people who come when they say, you didn't pay your property tax and we're going to confiscate this piece of land or property or house from you and kill anybody that tries to do that until I'm killed, right? That would be my right. I would be within my natural law, moral rights to do that behavior. I would have the right to kill anybody that tried to come and take the property away from me. Would that be an effective strategy in the world to get people to understand natural rights? Probably not. See, that's the point. I'm trying to get the world to the understanding of rights. And when we do that in the current ecosystem, the media is just going to paint people as murderers, which they are not. If a person, any person in the entire world said, I'm staying in this property, I'm claiming it as my own, I live here, I'm responsible for it, I'm upkeeping it, etc., and this is my property, no one else has any valid claim to it, and I'm not going to pay an extortion fee yearly for a feudal claim, claiming that I must pay a tribute to the ruling class to be allowed to continue to live on a piece of property. If I waited in my property armed and or went after anybody who claimed I'm going to forcibly take it from you with firearms and killed every single one of them down to the last being, it would be within my rights to do so. That would not be an effective strategy for changing the consciousness of the world, however, unless so many people agreed with it that everybody did it. Then the problem would be over before it began anyway.
That's
we have
I,
to
you know,
get
my,
to that ideological
thing,
understanding. We have to get to that philosophical
thing,
understanding.
Let me inject this. My goal has always been, one, to demonstrate some resistance. I mean, you know, that this is wrong. And to inspire people that a lot of times it's just a hologram. All these threats and bluster and everything is because, you know, they got a shiny badge, a piece of paper, and they think they can because, you know, they say they can. Somebody told them that they should. And
I think their order followers would be willing to murder a child for any transgression against any law. If there is resistance and people continue to say, no, you're wrong, I have the right to do this, you're not going to stop me. These people, cops today, would murder children just like the Nazis and the communists did.
Okay,
no different.
All right, let me express myself.
Same exact.
Let me express myself.
Yes.
This is what I'm willing to do at the very least. Make them make me. Make them say it. Mm-hmm. I have to get to that point. Does that mean I got to shoot or be shot? Not necessarily. I can be more creative than that. Now, I don't know. I give you all details later in case you care, but let me finish.
Yeah.
I was subpoenaed to the January 6th thing. Okay. Cause I interviewed someone and they're FBI, DOJ's on my ass for a long, and I'm going Fifth Amendment. And they go, you can't do that. What the hell I can't, you know, because I'm one of the voices on the file you want me to certify so you can use it as a criminal evidence in mm-hmm. a criminal federal trial. And right. it has me on. Oh, but you're not the target of, so you have to. I say I don't. Now what? Well, they kept threatening. Finally, you know, I get subpoenaed, go to Washington, get ready to go to the court. And they go, never mind, you can go home. They pressed it right up till the end.
Right.
To see if I would do it.
Sure.
Now, at what
point? It's a form of entrapment. Right.
Yeah,
they're trying to tell
point,
you don't have the rights that you do.
Yeah, at what right. point? You know, how many guns do they have? How many years in jail I got? Which I was willing to go to jail. Let's do it. Just make sure I get a blanket, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, eventually, you know, I called their, I don't think they were bluffing, but, you know, somebody went, this isn't going to, damn it. You know, I hate when Ernie does this stuff. So I expired like three subpoenas until the fourth one. They finally go, okay, you have to come now. You know, this is, so it's not like I'm not willing to do battle with these guys. You know, I understand, but I want them to make them make you, make them yep. say it. Okay. So if everybody does, or at least they're inspired by somebody doing that, or they see what's happening. A lot of times they want to know they have the freedom to leave. Now, True Stream Media just did a video. It's at the top of Freedom's Phoenix now. It's got a publisher recommended on it, talking about, you know, a lot, you know, some great stuff that they're working on now. But it's all about, you know, they're going to con you into making you do it when do you really have to? It's all a science. It's a lot of stuff that you're talking about.
But
today.
Should my time be taken up by that? Does anybody have a right to keep me under that kind of duress by telling me I have to go through their procedures? You know, again, I'm not advocating or saying everybody go out and kill these people. Right. I'm saying understand what rights are versus what they are not. These people are acting
violently.
You
don't have a right you don't defend. You don't have
That's
a right that you don't advocate. You don't
Correct.
Have a right that you don't use by example, assert,
right.
advocate, do something. You don't have
the,
it. You don't
the
have
problem
it.
Is,
you don't have it. If you're not doing
even,
it, you don't have it, Mark. You don't have
don't even,
it. How are you doing it? How are you
we
doing
can't
it?
Even
it? How
define
are you doing
them.
It?
Right. We can't even define them. People have to be able to define something before they can defend it or protect it. If you don't know what a house is and you can't even define what a structure is, or you don't can't define any other piece of property, how could you possibly defend it? It's like you can't even identify it, right? Like just again, going back to the word property. Property literally means power within one's rights. It literally, from its etymological origin, means power derived from rights.
Ah.
And if they take that away, all power is taken away to defend one's rights.
Okay, I like that one. Power from
and the
one's
first
right.
thing right. they're taking away is our ability to even recognize what our rights are. Do you know how many people on this planet would completely find what I horrible and say it's morally wrong and it's not true? You know, property tax, how many people won't even talk about it? It's an oxymoron. It's a contradiction in terms. If you own something, how could you be taxed on what you own? You know, the idea that part of what everything you own belongs to someone else, this superstructure called a state or a nation or a government. I mean, imagine that people are this deluded that they believe these people have some rightful claim to the fruit of my labor or yours or anybody else's. That's the delusion that government is. It's a religious cult. It's a religious occult cult, literally a cult. And so is every institution of totalitarianism that ever was
okay,
derived.
Okay, so this is your
cult.
Goal. This is Mark Passio, is to understand these fundamental things about reality, of what is and isn't. To you,
if we don't base
that is
our,
the cure. That is the
if
mission.
We don't base
that
our mindset
goal.
On truth and morality. Nothing, no actions can really be truly fruitful toward human freedom. It is an impossibility to achieve any level of human freedom without first a complete change of worldview and mentality and a complete and accurate understanding of rights and morality. Cannot be done by
right.
law.
So this
cannot
is,
be done according to the law of the universe.
So this is, you know, I'm saving this for now. You know, I've been mantraing this for years. I'm going, it all comes down to general public opinion. That's it. And that's why I do a lot of where Mark will do presentations and examine and, you know, all this and define the occult, what it is, where and how and what, you know, get your mind right and so on. We do kind of a lot of the same things, a lot of the activism and stuff that we do. But the activism is, I'm like, it comes down to general public opinion. They don't have an opinion about something they don't know anything. Controversy creates Yep. commitment, okay? You have to have the challenge. Somebody's got to say no and hopefully survive it. You know, this is...
lost word.
You know, this is where we're going, but... you know, it's down where it really matters to me. Now, fortunately, you know, I'm in my 60s now. I have the health and the ability to build and just be left alone. I don't have, you know, like, you know, I don't know. They come up with a pill. I might live another 100 years. But, mm-hmm. you know, the point is that I'm going, you know, it's time. This is the time. As our grandchildren are growing up, we want to have great-grandchildren. As we want to, you know, bear the fruit of our labor in the ideological understanding of, yeah, we're due the ability to just provide for ourselves, to grow our own food, to collect our own water, to educate our own children, to be able to, you know, provide for our own medicine, to build our own structure, to do... and what do you care? We're outside of any municipal corporation. We're out in the middle of the nothing in the freaking Sonoran Desert, by the way. So I'm just going, you know, give me a better example. So I'm, and fortunately, Donna's from Pennsylvania. You know, she's from State College. She, man, no, hell no snow. It's already getting too cold here in Missouri. She's like, get to the desert. Yeah, but it's 120. Don't care. Desert, you know. So, and we have 12 grandkids, four kids, 12 grandkids. We're within an hour, hour and a half of everybody's soccer games. So, you know, this is it. My entire life has been built, me sitting around drawing houses and cars as a kid. You know, if I only had, I want to get, ooh, I can build it myself. I got communication. I got shelter. I got, you know, new building materials, you know, the ability to grow food, all this stuff that we practiced over the years at our 2 acres in Phoenix. We're going, ooh, it's time. Here we go. A reward to myself and my wife for a lifetime of advocating for freedom and what Mark is doing. When I get there, yeah, and who are you going to bring with you? What, yeah, you and what army, Ernie? Do I got to have an army? I thought the government was there to protect my individual rights to do exactly that. I thought that was the goal. Nope, you'll own nothing. Well, you're going to have to freaking say it. This is, say it, as I can look.
They're actually happy to. You know, the World Economic Forum said it out in the open.
And see where Bill Gates is building his smart plug probe in the back of your head city. That's how, it's right there. I can see it. It's like 30 miles away on the base of another mountain. There it is.
One of the things you mentioned is influencing public opinion. You know, because if they can steer the minds of the masses of people, they can basically get them to capitulate and agree, not say no. You know, one of the people I'm going to talk about in my upcoming presentation, Two Masks, is Edward Bernays, you know, and his influence in the fomenting of the Bolshevik Revolution. You know, people have to understand these people came from think tanks long ago. You know, Wellington House in London, you know, which was the origins of the Tavistock Institute, brainwashing think tank, public opinion think tank. You know, he wrote the book called Public Relations. He wrote the book called Propaganda. He wrote the book called Crystallizing Public Opinion. You know, literally wrote the strategies on these because this is what the occult is. This is what the occult does. You know, it formulates strategies to infiltrate and subvert the human. It all starts with what we think. This is what people have to understand about consciousness, about real spirituality. It's all starting with the thought process. And if the goes haywire, or it's wrong, or if it's completely uninformed, then the behavioral process goes haywire, and it creates chaos, and it does immoral behaviors. So the answer has nothing to do with the organization of new systems. I know people will argue this constantly, and I'm pretty much derided and attacked for suggesting that it isn't about doing anything new. There's nothing new under the sun. There is nothing new that needs to be done. No new systems need to be invented. The solution is 100% entirely about ceasing to do behaviors that humanity is currently doing. It's about stopping immoral behaviors and stopping the ideological support of immoral behaviors. You know, the Nazis who were told to shoot Jews in Poland, for example, were not punished if they refused their orders. They had either extremely light duty punishment or they had no punishment at all. But yet, there was never, ever a lack of the ability to find a Nazi who was willing to shoot a political opponent or a racial, target in the head. They wanted to comply. They loved complying. And again, the police of this country, the police of the United States, are no different, 0% different morally. They are cut from the exact same moral cloth that the KGB was cut from, that the Stasi was cut from, that the SS and the SA were cut from, that the Gestapo were cut from. They are no different morally. They are the same exact immoral, verminous trash of human beings that the Nazis and the communists were. Nothing has changed in that regard whatsoever, because humanity has not learned true morality. They've been stuck with nonsensical religions, teaching them all kinds of morally relativistic ideas of morality. And that's why religion has done enormous damage to human beings, because it does not have true objective morality in hand. And it's teaching people nonsense as morality. You know, and until human beings morally educate the population, expect two things: slavery and extermination. That's what people should expect that the human future will contain. And that's all it will contain. And I'll go further than that. That's all it should contain. Because the justice system of the universe, not of man's justice system, the justice system called natural law, is always and forever, at every single time and place in all of creation, working exactly perfectly. We are getting what we choose. We are getting what we condone. We are getting what we support. And we are, most of all, getting exactly that which we deserve. I think that's a perfect place for me to end what I want to get out in this interview. And that's exactly what I'm going to get out in my talk next Saturday, because we are doing this to ourselves. And until we change our mindset, don't expect the external manifestation to change one iota.
How are we going to... is there an organizational goal? Is there a communication medium?
To get everybody on the same page of objective morality is the only goal. The only goal is, if you don't understand what true rights are, you don't understand what the absolutely true objective difference between right and wrong are, and almost every human being on this entire mud ball of a planet does not understand the difference between right and wrong. And I would say that to almost everybody's face.
Let me give you an example. You don't understand
the objective difference between right behavior and wrong behavior, and that's the reason humanity is a slave species.
We had a graphic that had Banksy's throwing a bouquet of flowers, you know, the anarchist bandit guy, whatever. And it went with the Levolution logo, the Ron Paul Revolution. It said, you know, we know the truth, revolution, and they're throwing a bouquet of flowers.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really popular one. What was amazing to me is how many people would go, truth? What's the truth?
Yep.
And I'm like,
because they believe in solipsism.
Not lies.
The ideology that there's no such thing as truth, that it's all just subjective opinion.
What was interesting to me was how many people would do that. That are in the Libertarian Party, that were more astute, more well-read. Truth is kind of a subjective thing. And I'm going, that is...
Because relativism of reality and truth turns into relativism of morality. See... They need to push the relative, all truth is relative, you know, and there's no such thing as objective truth or absolute truth. That this is, I've often said in my work, the greatest fear of almost every human being is that the truth is absolute and there is no wiggle room. The truth is one thing and one way that things actually are. And it's only our opinions and subjective interpretation of the actual objective truth that varies sometimes a little bit. It varies from it. Sometimes it varies wildly from it. And in most human beings, it varies wildly from what the actual objective truth is. That's why we're an enslaved species.
Yeah, you know, I was just sent a meme.
Have truth and morality in hand.
I was just sent a meme that kind of, you know, they're listening and they wanted this and this outspoken Samantha, whatever. Some who cares? And it says, goal of the activist public education system, turn out generations of young adults who are unable to think critically or to write or speak coherently. So the elite...
The outcome-based education system.
So the elite...
Russian education model.
So the elite can capitalize on their stunted development and turn them into willing advocates for things they don't understand.
That's what Satanism is. That's one of the you could define Satanism like that. Absolutely. It's using knowledge to ultimately place other people under your thumb and control. That's Satanism. That's the ideology that underlies every totalitarian regime, including Nazism and communism. So if people want to hear more about that, I'd suggest, you know, you could go. Tickets are still available. whatonearthishappening.com. $60 private donation to attend in person. Walk-ins are also going to be welcome for this event. I just want to let people know, if you didn't get a ticket and you just want to come on the day of, you're welcome to show up at the Exton Hotel. And, we could just take a cash donation at the door. And that's fine because we did not sell it out. We're at a little bit over half capacity of the room, actually. I was expecting it to do a lot better. I'm kind of sorry to see that it only went to about maybe 55% capacity, because I'm telling people right now, this is going to be one of my most educational presentations that I have ever delivered. It's going to be probably longer, if not just as long as my natural law seminar. And the information in this presentation is going to absolutely blow people's minds. And I'm making the personal guarantee almost everybody who attends in person and watches it later, once it is released publicly, will not know about 90% of this information.
This is a good place to leave it. Good commercial there, Mark. Thank you for coming on. We're in the end times of Here It Comes. I got four.
Yes, we are.
I had a headline when we did the dispatch on Freedom's Phoenix a few days ago. Usually I highlight, you know, the top story or something, and I just put the Four Horsemen. You know, it's, you know, what was it? Famine, pestilence, war, and death. I go,
That's
the
right.
whole front page was full of them. Man, they got them all mounted up. You know,
that's
so
right.
Here we go. So I'm not willing to sit on my hands, but I also want to keep my promise to my wife and provide a nice, you know, circumstance for her.
Of course.
But can I? And
yeah,
in the process,
I think you can, and there has to be that balance. You know, I want to avert warfare. I want to avert burning it all to the ground. You know, I think there is promise and potential in humanity. The problem is we've let wrong ideas dominate our thinking for far too long. If we can overcome the ego, the force that doesn't want to allow us to admit that we were wrong and supported things that were ideologically wrong, maybe we have a fighting chance. If we don't do that, if we don't change the mindset, we have no fighting chance. So again, that's what I think we all individually have to do, is realize that we are contributing in every incorrect, wrong thought, immoral action that we do or condone. We are contributing to the demise of humanity. If we can undo the thought process that leads to those types of behaviors, then we have a shot. We have a shot at true freedom.
Mark Passio.
And I think that is worth fighting for.
Mark Passio, yes. Absolutely. Mark Passio doing his share and making sure you understand the truth, the hidden truth, the occult, and exposing a lot of lies. Uncovering their secrets and exposing the lies. That's what we're trying to do here. Mark, thanks for coming on and helping out. We're not done. The battle is really just getting going.
That's right.
All this has been preparation and warning for... It's here, you know.
We need to redouble our efforts now. Now is not the time to take the foot off the gas pedal. Now is not the time to quit. We need to be tenacious. We need to be persistent. And I just want to say, Ernest, thank you so much for inviting me on. Great interview, great questions, and thank you so much for all of your efforts over the past decades. You're definitely assisting in doing the great work, and I applaud your efforts.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate that. Coming from you, that means something. You know, there's more coming, because there's more coming. Gosh darn it. I just wanted to be, I would love nothing more than be out in the desert and just, you know, join my family and be left alone. But I can't leave it to my grandchildren. I just
That's
can't.
That's right.
Because
Amen.
I regret on deathbed sucks, you know? So we're doing it. I'm trying to be creative about it and, you know, stay alive and everything and yep. not too incarcerated. But, you know, it's going to be, you know, guys like Mark helping people understand what's going on. That's going to make it a lot easier on us. And I'm glad for your attention. Hold on
Thank
a second, Mark.
Honors.
I want to talk to you
yes.
in a second. We'll be
sure.
right back this evening. James Corbett, Corbett Report, and doing our biweekly tonight, you know, whatever time it is. I'm in different time zones. I have no idea. But we'll be doing that this evening. Go to freemasonics.com. It'll tell you when and where. Peace.